Good morning, afternoon, or evening to our listeners. We just wanted to give a quick thank you to the sponsor of this podcast, which is The Times. We are so excited to be working with them. You can sign up for The New York Times by visiting their website, www.nytimes.com. Let's get into the podcast.
It's different now. Everything has changed. Always on the plane, always something new. I said nothing's new, nothing's changed. I still need you.
Which is a crazy story how that happened, but bro, they reached out to me one day. They're like, yeah, we approved the poster and all that. We need it on 60 feet by 20 feet, 600 DPI, through to size. So usually when you do something that big, you do a half size or three quarters or whatever. They wanted it through to size. No, so that's like, that's not normal. Bro. That's not normal. So
I bet you were like zooming out and it was like...
Yeah, none of these computers could do it. Like, it would crash every time.
No.
So that same day, I went out there and I bought like a $5,000 PC. I built it just for that.
PC.
Oh, yeah. Just to be able, because you couldn't do, a Mac would be like, same equivalent would be like 15K, like with the previous technology. So I had to go build it on the spot.
So they,
I went to Micro Center. They were able to build the same day. I went home and it worked.
See?
You still have it?
It was still slow. Yeah, I still have it. This is a dope computer. Bro, working on that PC, like I used to, obviously I like Mac because how clean it is and all that. But like working with that PC, bro, it's just like, dude, I'm just like, I go in there and I do insane. Whatever. Bro, it's like so fast. Bro, it's like insanely good, bro.
Even with Adobe?
Bro, yes, especially with Adobe. It's like, Adobe Illustrator right now is trash on these. On the new Macs, it's fire, but on these, like, they make the integration with the new chips, so it's like messing up.
Is that why you, because you have a hard time with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it crashes all the time. Yeah, it's like laggy.
Kevin worked on an entire campaign and then crashed.
Dude, it sucks, bro.
And he crashed on it. Bro, sucks. He had 87 assets.
Oh.
Final cut with the M1, and I've heard is really great.
Yeah, I've heard you can run, like, this dude was telling me, because he got one. He was telling me he was running 24 like different footage. You know how when he dropped 4K and it was running smooth.
He dropped 24 clips on there.
Yeah, like simultaneously running.
Like just
boom. Like you know when you have 24 cameras and you do that whole thing where you're cutting live.
Bro.
He was doing that and he was working.
We had a project like that earlier this year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was horrible.
Because
we don't have.
Olson is a huge PC guy because he would. He builds his computer because on one part, it's the same, like, the money part. But even if you get almost the max iMac or MacBook, it doesn't work as well as his PC
does. Compare.
No, it doesn't compare.
Especially video.
He even had, like, a little laptop. It was, like, a Lenovo. It was, like, one of those brands, but it was fast.
Yeah, bro.
For editing.
But Mac is now at that level.
See?
Think so?
With the M1?
So they're very like then so at work they have a Lenovo something custom built for filmmaking blah blah blah. It's custom like 7K or so, and PC money 7K is a lot of money for a computer. Like you can get pretty beefy, and they tested it against this new Mac, like full like the best one. You know, they decked it out all the way, and it was running at the same kind of speed as that one. Which is kind of impressive. It's like Mac has never been, and it's a laptop.
It's more known for like the design.
Yeah, it's like cool. Like the flow is cool. Yeah. I think they're stepping it up because everybody was super like disappointed too, though.
Yeah, because every artist, designer, filmmaker uses Mac, but I think run into that issue.
I think real like, I mean, I'm sure that like a project, bro. Like,
yeah, there's this guy Andrew Juan. He's a friend. He's a big YouTuber. He's like, has like a 2 million follower on YouTube, whatever. He's like a big YouTuber, and he does music and like techno music and that kind of space.
Yeah.
He bought a new. He has a big PC too, but he bought a new Mac, the new one. He did a video where he did a whole song in it, and he even records with the mic on the thing, which is obviously not ideal. But he's like, you know, it sounds pretty. Like he's pretty impressed with it too. So it's like pretty dope.
Here, listen.
To however, oh yeah.
You go.
Yeah, 1, 2. Yeah, sounds pretty.
Check,
I mean,
check.
You're probably gonna have to stay pretty
you want
close.
Me to get close to it? Like,
yeah,
like
as
this?
Close as you can get.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll give
Joe
some
Rogan
pieces.
Style, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you listen to what podcast do you listen to?
I like Joe Rogan.
You
do? Yeah. I like it for like you know, like normal content, but I also like, there's a few more that I listen to, but I don't, Dude, I'm so bad with names. I just rely so much on going into my phone and looking what I listen to normally, and I just play whatever comes up, because I'm always jumping too. But there's just like, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube too.
See?
Yeah. So yeah, I think.
Bro, that's funny. John, we were just talking about YouTube. You watch no YouTube.
I don't. I'm not really. Really? I mean,
watches, you don't.
Well, my YouTube is filled with Baby Einstein.
Oh yeah. See, you know? No. I got a different account for that.
You do? You just signed out?
Yeah.
I got you. I want to raise it a little bit. I got it.
I think bro, I got it.
Podcast. One, two. Is yeah. Is that good? 12, yeah. 28. Dude, YouTube is super clutch because like you start watching certain content and it starts, it keeps feeding that content and you start like looking. That's why I'm like, I don't watch in a specific one, but I like see clips of Joe Rogan and jump on and see clips of like these really cool YouTubers that can't remember their name. They talk about like, they talk about influencer game or like how to like get audience and all that, but they do it in a very like kind of like millennial way, like very well put together.
Yeah,
exactly. Like very respectful, and they interview some of the bigger YouTubers and also like people in podcast world and all that. Their content is really good. They don't get a ton of views because it's more like I feel like it's like a higher kind of like vibe for YouTube. It's like a, you know, like an older audience, like people that are like actually in the game.
Yeah,
but it's not, you know, it's super dope. I can hear you. I can hear you, but not you.
He's gonna be connected here, but
I have these, but I only hear myself.
Okay, so let me just do this instead.
Yeah,
there you go.
You can use them or you don't have to use them. It's up to you.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll
like
just, stay close.
Yeah,
close. Yeah,
I'm not gonna use them either.
It's more natural.
Bro,
we're just looking.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to hear yourself.
To hear yourself,
but also wearing headphones is like,
I know.
I hate it. I don't like it that much. Yeah.
Here we are, bro.
Bro, thanks for coming.
Bro, yeah, man, my pleasure, bro.
I don't know that. You guys go back.
Yeah, he's playing in the soccer field, so we see each other all the time. Like, that's where we met, right?
Yeah.
Cause
so funny.
Did you do Spanish school?
I did Spanish school, but like before your time.
Okay.
So I did Spanish school, and then when you came in, I was already like working for the English school, but
that's why, because I was like, I don't think you did Spanish school.
We didn't do it at the same time.
No,
and then I was out of there like around that time too. Yeah.
You graduated before Johnny.
Yeah.
2009.
For sure. Oh, 2009. Oh wow.
But then I stayed working for the English school for like CFNI, like in general.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can dive in. I'm excited about this. Last week, I saw you at Davis Street.
Yeah.
And we ended up talking. We were just chatting because I've wanted to do this for a while. Because one, I mean, we've known each other for a good amount of time. I feel like there's so many, there's so much history from CFNI. And then we've just been around each other. I wish I would have gone to Tulum when you guys went. That sounded like a lot of fun.
That was so much.
I heard a ton of stories. Did you go?
That was such a good time, bro. Bernice was there, and it's like
Bernice
had so much fun.
Yeah,
that was dope. Yeah.
That sounded fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, bro.
I heard you. Yeah, I mean, I heard a ton of stories, which I think.
Who's telling stories all the time?
It's probably Esteban.
No, there's someone.
David. It must have been David or Blendy.
Probably Blendy.
Probably Blendy, bro.
Too. Yeah, they were like, bro, it was crazy. We would do this and then we would do that.
Esteban.
No, we were just with somebody. It'll come to me. But he kept saying, like, bro, it was
a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was like 3-4 days of, like, just
did
fun.
You like it?
Just fun, bro. And then the funny thing, I was doing a project in the middle of this.
You did?
Dude, for Lush. For Lush, the makeup in
No
thing.
Way.
Dude, it was a pretty big project. I think it's the highest paid project that I've done. Single.
And you were out there?
Single project. So I don't know if we're recording or not. Like, are we live? Are we good? Or like?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, awesome. I we might need to stop.
Dang, bro.
Just spill some coffee. In it. We're good. Yeah, we're good.
You keep going with your story, bro.
No, bro, it's funny thing.
So you were in Tulum having
I don't know how you want to navigate.
It's
just
this is
fun.
It's pretty casual. Yeah,
okay, awesome.
Fine.
Okay, yeah, no, I was doing this. I got Lush reached out to me to do a project.
Yeah.
And they were like, between me and a few other designers, right? They're like trying to pick. So usually when that happens, you give them a daily fee and you kind of do some stuff for them. They pay you for those days. So they can sort of scope you out. So they can see if you're the right fit, right?
Yeah.
So I did that the few days before this. And then, you know, sometimes you send things and you don't hear from the clients in like 10 days. They're in a hurry at the beginning, but then just take their time. And then they reached out to me the day I was leaving, like the night before I was leaving to Mexico for my, our friend's wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what we're talking about. So, so we just, bro, I see it and I'm like, dude, I have to do it because like, also we did a ton of money for it. Like we sent.
You did it well.
Yeah, we did. We did super high and they took it. So we're like, I was like, dude, I have to do this. It doesn't make sense not to do it, right? But I'm going to Mexico at the same time. So I'm like, I think I can do it in the airport. Like, you know, while
I'm
on the plane.
Yeah.
So, dude, I paid for the internet on the plane. And I was doing work. I had some of the things that I'd done for them on the trial thing.
Assets.
And then we were like, we would hang out all day. And then, you know, it was like just party time, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And then I would get to the room and like around 2 or 3 a.m.
No way.
And then I would start working on this.
Oh, my gosh.
I would go to bed like around 5 or 6. And then, you know, when you're on vacation, like your body naturally wakes up like early.
You're excited.
Because you're like 8 or 9, you're like waking up, which normally if you go to sleep at 6, you wouldn't until like after lunch or something. But, dude, I was just waking up and doing it all over again. So I did that for like 2-3 days and sending assets back to them.
And it worked out?
And then I was sending it back to one of my video guys and he was like making it flow. Okay, it was like a movement thing. They were putting on the building.
As well.
So I was like communicating. Thankfully, I have some people that are like repping me that help me with that as well. But it, bro, it's like, I don't know how I did that. I'm like, that was one of the craziest, like.
The highest paid project.
That's crazy. I mean, that's responsibility too, bro. Like to go home.
Yeah.
To go to Tulum. To go to Tulum and finish an entire project.
Yeah. But you're fine with it.
Yeah, you got to be hungry for it too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like if you're like, yeah, I'll do it later or whatever. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Like it's a good thing and a bad thing. Like I always say, I tend to say yes to projects. And the cool thing is that you don't know what opens what doors are open, like in the long run with people you meet and stuff like that. So it's like super dope. Yeah.
That last year, it was November. It was around this time. It was literally this time when we went
was
to
it
Mexico
last year?
City.
Yeah, we
went
sort
to Mexico
of,
City.
Sort of a similar
literally
story.
Same thing. Like probably the biggest project we've ever done. For a friend, for a shoe company, Kohan.
Okay.
Ended up, but bro, we didn't realize what it was gonna, like we knew it was coming. And like, oh, some assets for Black Friday and some assets for like
design,
Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving,
right?
Christmas.
Like, oh, no big deal. But it happened during the time we were going to Mexico City.
It was for your birthday.
It was my birthday. And
Marcel, was it? No, it was just
your
birthday.
It was also Marcelo's wedding as well. It was around that same time.
It was around the same time.
I think it was the same trip.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah. The same trip. Oh, because Marcelo's anniversary was just like last weekend.
Yeah, it was. And anyway, it was insane. Oh. It was a lot.
It was too
it was
much,
a lot.
Bro.
It was too. It was. It I was mean, really, it was. It was fun,
had,
but it's like
I managing. Had never seen so many edits on one design. In.
And there was a lot of people involved.
The letter spacing, where it goes, the color,
a lot of details,
all the little details.
Yeah.
You were working a ton. And then the
a similar story. We would hang out. I would hang out with Bernice during the day. Then we'd get home like around 11 midnight. And then you're kind of chilling. And then you wait for her to go to sleep. So then you're working from like 1 to about 3, 4. Wake up again at 6. Yeah. So that way you work more time. So then during the day you can actually do something.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's fun though.
Yeah.
It's,
you don't want to put fun down sometimes. Like just want to you want to be able to go to these things. But then also it's like it collides with some projects. And you're just like. Gotta do both.
You gotta do both,
which
bro.
I think is the beauty of it. I mean, the fact that we are able to.
I mean, it's a
take work.
Yeah.
Anywhere
work
you go.
To Tulum and do the same amount of work that you would do at home. And
yeah.
That's the dream. In Tulum, I feel like a lot of people do that. They're just there, like working.
Yeah.
Probably on like freaking great projects.
Yeah.
And then they're just chilling. All
enjoying
day.
Life.
Enjoying.
Yeah. Like kind of like digital nomads kind of vibe. Like people that go to Thailand and.
Do you work a lot? Do you work a lot remotely or?
Yeah. We were just talking about that. Like, yeah, I worked for a good like, 1 or 2 years in like just coffee shops and stuff.
Really?
Like, and I don't know if that's what you mean or you mean like outside of the States?
No. Like,
like remotely, like coffee places and stuff like that. Yeah. I like that. I like changing environment too. Like, feel like it helps you like. Even if you make a design where you usually make it, and then if you review it somewhere else, if the space is different, you see
it's
it
a totally
different
vibe. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Also, like if you do it on a computer versus the phone, like review and then different screens and stuff, like gives you such a different perspective, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's so important for designs, the fresh eyes. So it's like how to generate fresh eyes.
Sitting on projects or design.
It's something we've learned a lot on our end. How old are you, first of all?
I'm 32.
John turns 31 tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So you're 32. Happy birthday, bro.
Thanks. When's your birthday?
August. Yeah, end of August. Yeah.
Nice. So
89.
This will be like maybe a more official intro. So like Magdi, you're an amazing, amazing designer.
100%.
I'm sure a lot of people have seen your work because you just talked about Lush. I think it was last weekend or 2 weekends ago. I saw your project at the AT&T LED wall outside of there in downtown. You're super NFT world now. I know you dropped NFTs yourself.
Yeah.
Which sold out super quick.
Two drops already, right? You already have two drops? Yeah.
That was amazing.
Shout out Qverse.
Yeah, Qverse.
I know. Discord. So, and then, I mean, bro, I'm sure I can go down. I know you've done a project for Adobe. The Adobe project was super dope.
Yeah.
I like the video portion of that.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. Adobe's more like teaching stuff, which is cool too. Yeah.
You taught the residency, right?
No, I was mentor to somebody else.
That's what I'm saying.
So yeah, Tammy, you know Tammy Cocker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was his mentor during the
residency. Really? Very familiar.
He's local, right?
He's local.
Yeah, he's local.
He just did the Oscars art for last year's Oscars.
No way.
Yeah, really? with a couple more artists that are like super dope. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. That's awesome. Tammy's a great guy. Yeah.
So you did that. And anyway, I mean, you've done a ton of stuff, which I'm sure we'll dive into.
It's funny. I could see your vibe in his work.
Yeah. That's cool. He was like my kind of design disciple for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, I'd love to like dive into, you know, we were talking, even I saw you a little bit. You're like, who listens to this? I think a lot of young creative people that aspire to be in the field and are in the field. I think there's this sort of like, still a conception of like, could I full-time be a creative? Mm-hmm. You know, that like, what does that journey look like? And I think for everyone, it's different. You know, there's some people that work at church under the creative and that's what they do. And I think that's all they think they can do, which is an option and it's great. There's some people that run agencies or studios, and there's people that are freelancers, and then there's people. I think you're like a mix of a lot of those things. And what I've seen is that you do it all super, super well. Like you've done, you know, you have your own studio, but you also have your own sort of personal brand under Magdiel, which is awesome. You've done your own NFTs, and you're super accomplished in all of it. Like I remember at CFNI, the stuff that you were putting out, I was like, who's doing that? It was really, really good. And that was a Bible school that all three of us went to.
Yeah.
Which is really where we go back. And then you were doing stuff for fellowship, which I thought was really good. So just, I feel like every touch point, anything you've done has just been really, really good. So I'd love to dive into like what makes that. And I think you were telling me some of those things last week, some of your approaches to design. And then I don't know. I think it'd also just be fun talking about some NFT stuff because I know that's super in right now.
NFT,
I feel like that's all I've cared about. But I still think that value would be super given to like talk about process of creative, about design. I know you've explored a lot and I think you have so much to offer. And that's what we changed the podcast from creative execution to like actually interested, because truly like that's interesting to me. Because I think it'll help a lot of people.
Yeah.
I know it'll help me a ton. And then I know Joe will get into some.
Yeah, stuff. I mean, bro, I've always seen it. I think we've hung out once. I always tell this story because it was with Bernice. I don't think we weren't married yet. We were at somebody's rooftop, at Ray's rooftop. I think they're a complex.
Yeah.
And I saw Magdi, and Magdi gives, if you're listening, I don't know if you can feel it. He's probably one of the kindest human beings, but he also gives you this like, I'm a kind human being, but you better respect me vibe. Like
you felt that?
I remember like kind of mob bossy a little bit.
Kind of
like,
contradictory.
Yeah. No, but I know, like, I know you being a kind person, but it kind of, I felt like I had to like sort of like a
respect,
respect. Like I got to pay my respect.
For sure.
And then I remember we ended up, I was making a bunch of like mezcal and squirt. You remember that?
And then
we just started talking about it. You started talking about his kid and it was really fun. I'm more excited to hear about, I don't know, your process, because I do feel there is, in Dallas, you see a lot of like designers. But for some reason, when I look at your work, I can feel your, like, your entire background and what it's, you put into it. Like, you, the way you cut, kind of what you said, everything that you do, like, seems very professional. And I, like, as a designer, I always see that almost be the downfall for a lot of creative people. For me, like, I anything, like, to finishing a project, feeling really good about a project, I feel like you carry that really well. So that, that's really what I'm excited to listen about. Like, I wonder if, because we've had conversations with a ton of designers, and a lot of them are very, like, conceptual, even in, in the way they live life. And you, I feel like you might be, I don't know yet, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, I feel I'm pretty conceptual in the way I approach a lot of things. Like, everything's like very, like, emotional. What doesn't feel like this. And I'm sure you tap into it, but it also feels like you tap into, like, go mode too, which is really fun.
But a more
really
practical approach.
Yeah, exactly.
And then even, I think what you said, that, let's start there. Like, where are you, where you're from? I think that probably has a huge part, like, of your story and what you're doing now. Yeah, it's like, dude, you're,
I was just looking at some photos yesterday. First of all, thank you for having me, bro. I'm like, super thankful to be here. Good, and I admire you guys as much as you, you know, the good things that you're saying about me. I feel, you know, I write back at you guys and everything you're doing with you and all, you know, super dope stuff. I always follow everything on Instagram, and nice, I love y'all's work as well. So thank you for having me, man. Yeah. I'm from originally from Cuba.
Cuba.
And then I moved here when I was 15.
That's crazy.
Through a crazy, you know, crossing the border, Guatemala, Mexico, in
for
a boat.
Real?
Oh,
and then got in prison in Mexico for 3 months.
Oh, man.
Trying to cross. And then we finally crossed, made it here.
You with know, your family?
Immigrant vibes. Like, we didn't have anything. You know how it is.
Oh, my gosh, bro.
And just, like, working hard, doing whatever we could. Moved to Texas 17, 2 years after that, to come to CFNI. And then from there on, I just kept working and kept, you know, doing things. So I think part of the practicality aspect of it comes from that. I'm like, dude, I was just looking yesterday because, like, you know, when you grow up in a place like Cuba, you don't even, like, it's hard to compare anything. Even the worst places here in the States, like, feel like they're nice compared to that. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I saw some photos yesterday. So my mom came to visit. She's at home and she was showing me some photos of our neighborhood.
And you're like,
and I was just like, dude, I'm getting chills right now. Cause I'm like, dude, I can't believe, like, like, how different my life is now and how different the life is going to be for my kids. Yeah. So I feel like there's a lot of fire behind that. Like, I feel like I don't have too much time to, I feel like a big weight of, like, responsibility, not only for my kids, but also for my parents, because they sacrificed so much bringing us here. So I feel like I also have to.
Like, you're constantly almost thinking about that.
Yeah,
right?
Like, as they're getting older, I'm like, dude, I have a big weight of responsibility. Yeah. So when you have, you know, when you live kind of like that, it's tough sometimes to, like, relax, which is a bad thing, but at the same time, you know, it kind of motivates you.
Wow.
So it's hard to relax and, like, live more of a poetic life, which I'm inclined to live as well, because I'm an artist. So sometimes, you know, I just want to listen to music and chill and just do whatever, you know, just relax or, like,
enjoy life.
You know,
it's
like, knock a couple walls in my house for no reason and see how it goes. But then I remember, you know, then I remember that I can't afford to do that. In the sense of, like, time and responsibility and how time is moving. And if you're a young artist, like, this is the best time of your life. Like, honestly, like, this is a time that you have less responsibilities. Is a time where you don't have as many commitments when it comes to, like, even a wife or kids. Things start getting complicated, as you know, Johnny. You got kids now. Yeah. It's just like, it's a lot of energy, and it's not something negative. It's just like, even your mind shifts into, like, taking care of your kids and, like, dedicating time to them. They interrupt you when you're working, and even creativity kind of, like, goes down a little bit. You have to take care of it. Like, you got to be more strategic about everything you do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There's no rest about any aspect of your life. You got to be sharp on everything. So, really, like, you got to stay on top of it, like, checklists. And I'm reading this book called Checklist Manifesto, which talks about how to organize your life. Because as an artist, like, I struggle with that.
Bro, that's crazy.
With that, like, kind of, like, vibe of, like, being super effective, super organized. So it's hovering between being an artist and an entrepreneur or you know, an owner of a company. And that right there is, like, very tough to do, because you got your artist vibes, who tells you just relax. You got to relax to do what you do.
Yeah.
And you got to be in this, you know, mental state. But then you have the side of you that's just, like, business and, like, you have to get all these things done, right? So I'm not saying everybody that's listening to this is going to want to be even sure. that, because even young designers, bro, like, they're pumped about having their own studio.
Yeah.
They don't know what that means.
Yeah,
you really don't know what that means until you do it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this doesn't mean what I thought it meant. You know, I don't get to, I still don't get to do whatever I want. I have to not only, you know, keep the clients happy, but also, you know, keep my whole team inspired.
Sure.
Keep my whole team on the direction. That's very tough. There's this book called Herding Tigers.
Herding tigers?
Yeah.
Mm.
It talks about like how to...
Herding the cats type.
Yeah. Makes sense. Instead of cats, it's tigers. Talking about creative people how to lead creative people. It's like,
really,
you know,
good.
They're touchy sometimes and they're like, you know, so like even leading creative people is a whole...
That's a whole thing, bro.
Yeah,
it's
a whole thing.
That's a whole thing. It's
like
that
mentality between that and that.
Yeah.
And it's just
like, you read that kind of stuff?
I'm always listening to other books. Like.
So you're pretty like... I mean, bro, I mean, I can't even go past the Cuba thing because I also got the chills. Like, I actually, it's deep. Like, that's not something to take lightly. Like, your where you came from and where you're at now is a huge deal.
Yeah.
But that's a huge part of your fuel, right? Like, you think about that.
Yeah.
Like, that makes a lot of sense.
And the moments when I don't think about it is the moments in my life when I get more lost.
Mm.
Really?
You know, when I get more like,
wow,
maybe dismotivated
that,
or like...
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. And then you know how, you know, as artists, you get tired of what you do. You know?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I've done this so much. Like, I'm done with these colors. I'm done with this vibe. I'm
I want
to do something different. Even the trends as they move, you want to go with them a little bit, right? But if you are, you know, like the artist side of what I do, which is my name, under my name... Like people want to pay me to do what I do because if they want something else, there's somebody else.
Sure.
But like you have your
style. I have like kind of my niche, and then that's why I've been able to do stuff with big clients. It's like because they love what I do and they want that, right?
Yeah.
And the moments that I lose focus and I try to do other things because of my
artist.
That's what I'm saying. It's like being disciplined as an artist as
that's
well.
That's what it is. At the end of it is discipline.
Yeah.
Right?
It's being disciplined like, and not being a baby, you know?
So that the baby part comes back like you can't afford to be a baby. Essentially, that's kind of your mindset, right? It's like the wind comes and there's some new trend or color or whatever.
Yeah,
you're like, I want to as an artist.
Yeah.
But you're like, I can't afford to explore essentially.
Yeah, and I'm also a student of the. I feel like I'm a student of art and design. Like I enjoy studying the trends and
seeing what
people are doing, and even the feeling behind things. You know, like this whole wave of like you know what I call like new design, which is like anti design and this you know more broken down, more like photography heavy stuff. That you know a lot of what you guys do, that's so cool, and I'm like so attractive to me. And I love studying it, and then I want to do it, and I'm like, I know I can do it, but it's not my realm, you know. It's not what I'm doing. It's not what I'm specializing in. So that's important too. It's like keeping kind of staying your lane.
Well, because if you look at your work, you've almost stayed the same, and like not stayed the same, and like you haven't grown, but like you have that niche, and it doesn't seem like you're ever
swayed
by it. Because like when I
Which
hear
is
that,
so good,
and I'm like. Damn, bro, we're the opposite. Like,
well, like, which is
great, though.
It's funny because now we're kind of talking holistically. Like, if I'm a business and I think of Magdia's style, I know what it tastes like. Mm-hmm. So I know that if I bring you on, I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think of music, like, I think of like Adele just dropped her album today. I think I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
You know, like, and there's obviously there's growth every single 5 years with an artist, but that thing Adele's not gonna sound like Nicki Minaj out of nowhere.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully
not, because it's not. You got Nicki Minaj and she's great at what
she's
she
doing.
Does.
Yeah.
And then like that's one of the things that I kind of like didn't like when like Taylor Swift like switched from like
her
like
country
her
to pop
country vibe. I've never been a Taylor Swift fan or like, I don't even like country.
Sure,
but I hate it that she sounds like every other pop artist now.
Yeah,
and this is like why don't you explore something like more in between? I'm sure she's making a lot more money. It's a lot more successful, but it's a different point. But anyways, I feel like, you know, it comes down to like being disciplined on and goals, you know, like if your goal, like obviously if you see yourself as an artist, you're not gonna be, you know, shooting every direction trying to hit something.
Yeah.
Thinking that, you know, maybe I'll make it as maybe in chasing, you know. If you chase, you're not gonna get anywhere, honestly. You have to do, you know, you have to do what you love, and you kind of have to be consistent at it. And things would come, because
that's true.
Yeah.
That's hard, but that's really true.
Which part? Like
what you just said of like you almost as an artist, designer, musician, whoever it is, like the moment you start chasing notoriety or clout or success,
yeah,
you almost, you're playing the game of chasing it, and it's always moving. And what I've seen is people that sort of like remove those, I'm chasing something, I'm just going to do what I do. They almost, it's almost like then the trends and stuff come to you, like the success comes to you. And that's weird because sometimes like it could take a long time. Yeah. It can take a long time to like, you know, the stuff that you were doing maybe in the beginning. I don't know who necessarily was doing exactly that. Like, I don't think anybody was, you were just doing it. And then now it's almost like people then came to you because of that, instead of you chasing it. Yeah. And it's like this really small, like subtle, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, it's like, do you chase it or does it then come to you?
I think a big part of being an artist in this years and going forward, even going into the NFT stuff, is identity. So it's branding. So even as an artist, you need to have your own branding. You need to have your own style. You need to have your own, like, they see you and they're like automatically know.
They know.
Okay, that's new, or that's like, you know, my deal. That's whoever it is. When you listen to Adele, you know, second two of the song, you know, is Adele. So it's just like the branding heavy is like the future of even design. If you think of huge artists like Kaas or like Arsham, you see their stuff, you know, it's them.
Automatically.
100% all the time. And they don't get tired of doing the same thing. Think about that.
Yeah.
They're like, how much will you get tired of like
Murakami's flower is like everywhere.
Yeah. And then you have to, that's it. You're like almost a slave to it. But in a good sense, you know?
Okay, but that's beautiful. Yes, like the slave to it, I think, hits a lot.
Yeah.
Because years ago, I mean...
What?
Well, I think a few years back, like, it's weird because there's a lot of things here. I think you probably relate a ton. I relate a ton. And then I relate what you're saying in a dual teamwork that we have. Because I feel like there's a couple years back that... we were hitting something from like a branding, visual, video design. And it was like hitting, and by hitting meaning like, oh, there's this flavor. There's a niche that it's like, seems really good.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of interest, but then when other people start doing it, there's this like, okay, I'm going to stop it. And there was like, I think a decision that we made, I'm just going to stop doing that and move to something else.
Yeah.
But then you kind of like get lost in that, like figuring that other thing.
Now it's like,
it's like your dude. Yeah. I mean,
now it's like, so what's next? Right. Like type of thing. Cause we've done that so much. We've done so much.
Constantly.
Yeah. We do that. If not, I mean, how many times have we redesigned our website? Like 8 times, 12 times in the past year.
It's just that balance between identity and
that makes sense.
Innovation.
Yeah.
You want to innovate because that's part of your spirit too.
Yeah.
But you got to know where you can innovate at. And maybe it's not innovating in your style, but innovating in the ways you put it out.
Sort of like what you did with your NFTs is
innovation. Like kind of going into different medium. Or for example, for me, a huge thing that I want to transition into now is 3D. So I want to keep doing my same color, I use a lot of bars and stuff like that. Keep doing the same vibe, but in a 3D environment. I think it's going to give it an extra special
100%.
Thing. 100%.
Now it's just evolving.
But it's just like, it's the same. I have to keep my same. People have to see it and say, oh, that's my deal, you know?
Mm.
And you're right. When I started doing this, design was in a different place. It was like hand lettering, the whole vibe in 2014, 100%. 15.
So it was like the Oddfellas vibe.
Yeah, everything. It feels very like boho kind of vibe. Yeah. Like, you know, like chill, you know?
Yeah. There was like, that makes sense.
Colorful gradients weren't a thing.
And so that's kind of what I'm saying. Like,
if you
would have chased that, there would have not been a Magdiel.
And there's a temptation of like...
For sure, because it's popular.
Just learn how to do lettering at school, you know? But then there's so many... This is what I always think, like, am I going to be able to, in the curve of really like good. The trend going up and down,
yep.
is my knowledge going to be able to match that and be in the front end of that?
Mm.
And the answer is 99% of the time, no.
Mm.
You're not going to be able to catch on to a trend once it's already in the peak of like its performance, or like everybody's into 3D. It's like huge. Now getting into it, it's like seems kind of late because everybody's into it already. Mm. You know, 3D is a bad example because 3D is a feature of design, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But in general, like trends,
really? Sure.
Like, you know, it's just not. So it's innovation versus identity, well, and I feel like identity is stronger. It has to be stronger.
Because go for it.
Well, no. For there, like that's a super meta, like, well, not meta, but like it's like a, that in 2014, 2015, there was a trend. You look at it. That's not me. How did you, though, develop you? Like, how did even like the, you know, when I think of you, to be honest, I think of this like future looking like purples, blues, mm-hmm. like that mix. And then like a out of this world sort of robot human, that's beautiful, human, right? That's like, it's not to me, it doesn't feel inhumane or crazy. Inaccessible. It feels very like accessible, but future.
It's crazy to me because it how much it now, like 2021, it's so perfect for where we're going, like for NFTs, for Meta, so I was just thinking
about how that. how did you develop
how did I land on that style?
Meaning like a lot of people say like, man, this just goes back to my roots, like, you know, and if you say that, then I would have thought, well, how does that connect to Cuba and your upbringing? And maybe you don't have an answer, but like maybe there's like a,
that's a really good, that's a really good question.
I've gotten this question a lot, and I've thought about it over time because I really don't know the answer. So the answer is a mix of like, okay, I really, as a kid, I used to draw a lot, and I used to draw like a lot of clouds and stuff like that. And even if you see some of those drawings, they're strangely similar to what I do. I would just do a random bar on the back of the design, but then color it different inside the subject. And then color different outside. And that's something I do in my design all the time. So it's like, so, and then also clouds in the bottom portion of the drawings. So it's something that I always, like an idea that I always had. And then I'm a huge like Dali fan and all of those surreal kind of vibe artists.
Yeah.
So it's almost like when I started doing the designs that I enjoy doing, because you work for clients for so long,
sure.
So you're limited by what they want to do, you know? So even looking back to like 2010, I did a few designs that looks a lot like my posters, you know, for clients and for things like that, super like over the top colors and like in that kind of vibe, a circle on the back, highlighting the subject a lot. Like I almost like, so in Cuba, we didn't have movies. In the movie theater, so we had movies that would play for months and months and months, but it wasn't like Spider-Man's coming out and then Spider-Man comes out in Cuba. It's not like that. Mm. It's whatever movie they play from, like, could be the 50s or whatever. Really? So it's like random. So the whole idea of like movie, we didn't have internet.
Okay.
So I started doing design when I was 13 years old with, I would grab my dad's books and I would reproduce them. I didn't have internet. So I would take photos myself. And like kind of like if I would see a book cover and it had a guy or whatever, I would try to take a photo of my brother or my dad or whatever and try to recreate the book. So that was how I learned design on my own, kind of.
Sick.
But I always had this kind of like vibe for like all this kind of like almost like comic book, kind of like heroic characters in the center of the page, stuff like that. And then I like fashion photography a lot. It feels very like movement, you know, camera looking up to the subject and stuff like that. So I liked that a lot as well. So when I started doing my posters, it was a mixture of like my naturally, you know, color, like the gradients and all that. I always like color. So, and I like when I do the gradients on my computer, basically it's a soft brush and I start drawing, like painting them on the thing. So I started doing that, adding some cool, like, you know, fashion photography to it. And it started like cutting out a lot of the aspects of the photo, like the hands, you know, cutting them out, having, you know, stand out, doing a gradient inside of the hands, doing stuff in the back. So it's like almost like
painting.
What else, how much can I do with one photo?
Mm.
Which takes me back to my roots of how I learned Photoshop. It's almost like I was just doing whatever I could with little resources.
Mm.
So without even me knowing, that's what I started doing. And that I think that kind of developed my style, you know, in that sense. And I wasn't really, I'm never being a big, like name guy. So I don't, you ask me names of things that are, and I don't know people's names.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that I'm trying to fix, but, but I'm not like, oh, I'm a fan of these artists. You know, I feel like that also that fan mentality is bad. If you're an artist, like, I feel like you need to like put it down, you know, because it's like, you are so into that and living that so much that you kind of want to become that.
Become that,
And that affects what you do as an artist. So you have to like kind of like...
So what you consume is what you're saying.
Yeah, I consume a lot of design, but I'm like scoping.
But you're almost, you can filter it by now.
Yeah, and I'm filtering what I see, but I'm not fixating on one person. Because when you do that, you become that person essentially. And that's it. Like it's like, it's hard to like be you, you know? So it's like scoping things, and then you got to steal like an artist. Like, I'm sure you guys heard of that book, but it's just like, you know, if I like this purple, then I like your shirt style, and then how do I mix those two things? And I'm not stealing from anybody in particular, but I'm stealing from both of you guys. You know, so it's kind of like the vibe of like, you know, like learning to steal. And that was always natural for me because, again, the resources thing back to Cuba, I didn't have anything. So to me, it was like,
you have to work with what you have.
Yeah, I'm taking a photo of a plant, and I'm taking a little piece of it and putting it here and using it as this and that. And it's almost that creativity based on necessity, you know?
Which that makes sense because, like, you know, I know you said you don't have an answer to that, but like, you just spent 3-4 minutes, maybe more, 10, describing your style or describing where it came from, which makes a huge difference. Like, there's a, this may sound weird, but there's depth to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. There's a huge like underlying sort of philosophy as to why you do what you do, as opposed to someone coming in and just like copying and pasting that. And then doing it, and you can feel that there's no substance there.
Yeah, man, there's so much of that, like, because it's my style.
Because
like,
it's your, and you can, like, maneuver it, you can play with it, you know how to move it.
And I guess so many young artists, like, tagging me on what they make that's inspired by me. Yeah. It's just straight up copy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, good, you know, it's, you know, flattering and all that.
At least you're showing a skill, right?
Like, but they're not progressing, in my opinion. They're not progressing.
Because they don't understand.
No, if they grab what I do and they do something different, but you can still feel the influence, but it's just like evolving, you're progressing. But if you're just doing what, that's what I went back to, like, whether it's me or anybody else, like, don't fixate on one artist. Like, just, you know, scope everything. Scope music, scope fashion, scope design.
That's really good.
Scope history of art, because a lot of the big brands understand.
That's all they do.
Understand, how do we go back and recycle this? And this is like the way, you know.
Yeah. When did you, I have a question. Because I feel we're very similar being Mexican. And, you know, my parents were born in Mexico. I'm probably the first one born here. And we're very resourceful. Like, I think we approach everything extremely resourceful, right? Like,
too much.
Like, sometimes it bites us in the ass, but it's we brought on somebody to help us not be that way, not think that way. But when for you did, because I feel like what I've seen, at least personally, is sometimes being resourceful not all the time gives you a really nice product, like a really excellent product, because you're just being resourceful. When did you see that almost bridge, or was it never a bridge for you? Because I feel like when I think about your work, it just feels so excellent. Like, it feels pristine. Like, it you know exactly, and it's probably just experience, but do you know what I'm saying? Like,
like, almost obsessive about details.
But at the same time, how do you blend that? How do you blend the resourcefulness of like, I'm gonna take this photo, I'm gonna try to make it look sick, and your work is actually sick, versus we've done, you know, photo shoots with like not the best cameras, and then you're like, do we need the better camera just to get better at it? You know what I'm saying? Like
bridging that gap. I think it's understanding what makes something good. I hate when like young like creators are like, I'm waiting for this, I'm waiting for when I have a better camera, when I have better computers. Bro, like, stop. You know, like, my dad had a Pentium 2 and I was doing Photoshop on that, and it's like, dude, like, you can actually do it. So I'm like, I feel like it's more important for me to understand what makes something feel that way than to actually do it that way. So it's like almost like cheating the system. Like, I know what makes something finished and polished.
Really good.
It's like sharp corners, like, you know, like things that, like, the edges of the photos have to be like look like they were always like that. Like, the world has to feel like it's in it, you know? So the hair, everything, like, so I obsess about those details, because that's what makes it awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And having high contrast on the photos and stuff like that. So I understand what makes it look that way.
Yeah.
And then I invest time on those things, okay. You know?
That's really
even
good.
When I don't, and then for people that don't know, I did this like a poster day for a whole year straight. And
I remember that.
One poster a day, right?
Yes, I remember that.
So 100%. Some days I had to sit after doing work all day in my normal job and family, and I had a wife and my wife and everything. And I would have to sit and do this poster, and sometimes it's like you know, I would get by doing three things, like inspired by other things that I would see, obviously, and trying to like replicate or like do my own spin, or like how do people do this effect? I want to do that, you know?
Sure.
That's one of the things. The other thing is like that hunger and that necessity of like, I know this is taking me somewhere, and I want to be consistent in that kind of like that pressure on yourself. And then the final thing that keeps you kind of like inspired with that is like, it's almost like that same, like, I don't know what I'm doing today, but I have the skill to do it, even if I'm not inspired. So it's like developing that skill. I know I can get a Photoshop right now, and without thinking about it, I can make something that looks good. And I might not feel good today, not inspired. Doesn't matter, because you own your craft and you have sharpened your sword for so long that you're like, bro, I have a, como decimos, tengo el diente bien largo. Like, you know, like I can get it done, bro. So it's that last
That's
one
really good.
Might not be like innovation, but that last one is identity, you know? And your identity can take you so far, you know, that's the way I look. I can grab these tools and make this thing amazing, and I don't need the first two. I don't need to stay inspired by what's, you know, that burden that I have, or like building a business, or like becoming a great artist.
Sure.
I don't need to depend on that all the time. And I don't need to depend on seeing what other people make all the time. I can also depend on my identity and make something awesome because I've crafted I've worked on my craft for so long.
That's really good. That's really, really good. I've never really seen it that way. Like I've never
the three
because I feel a lot of people think about just one versus like, wait, there's other
being inspired.
Cause you're almost getting gas, right? From different places.
From three different places. Yeah. Those are the three main, you know, it's like, The metal is the main one. It's like your purpose. Like, am I doing this for my kids? Am I doing it for pride?
Yeah.
Pride works better than doing it for money. It's like money you're chasing. When you're prideful, you're like, you want to be the best.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it works. You know, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
It might not be healthy in the long run, but whatever triangle, whatever the main one is, it's what's going to mostly give you gas. The other one is like inspiration of studying the craft. And the other one is like actually making your craft and like, to being a boss of what you do. You know, you can, you know, you're good at photography. You can go out there even if you don't feel like it and take some great photos.
Yeah, that's
it's
so
like,
true.
It's like, you know, defining what are those key things that can make you look professional and done, even if you're basically
sometimes
I'm doing this with my boxer sitting in my couch.
Yeah.
I love that, bro. That's so good.
That discipline is huge.
Huge.
I mean, it's just something that I, again, like uncovering this that sticks out to me is that you're incredibly disciplined to your craft and also to being great. Like, I feel like that's a huge thing in you. Because people, like, I find that people are good at what they do, but when someone takes time to understand what makes them good or why they're good, I feel like that takes them to a whole nother level. Yeah. And the fact that you're able to describe your process just tells me that, like, you and it also tells me that you're going to be able to do this for a long time, because it's not just based on like,
and it comes also from bad times, you know, like I've had times when I'm like, I'm tired of what I'm doing, man. I don't want it. Like I was being very successful and Instagram people were liking my stuff and all that and getting clients, and I stopped dropping anything on Instagram for like 4 or 5 months because I felt like I'm done. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like,
yeah.
And then on those times I'm wanting to pivot. I'm wanting to shift. I'm like, I'm getting into painting. That's it. I'm done with design, right? So I'm like I said, like, because I studied this so much, like, I love painters. And I love the whole vibe about painting.
Yeah, bro.
And the energy behind
How far did you go?
On painting?
Yeah.
Well, not far, because, I mean, I did it digitally.
Sure.
I did digital painting a lot. Like, I love that still. But it was almost that kind of like, you know, like kind of slap to yourself of like, dude, it's almost like you're throwing away what you have, you know? It's just like,
why? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, don't be so ungrateful to, like, you know, like, destroy even to yourself. Like you have to be, you know, you have to be conscious of that. And I feel like artists sometimes get too romantic. Mm. Like, that's not my process anymore. Like, I'm moving on to doing something new. And that's cool. Like, you, if you can afford to live like that and you have somebody paying your bills and you got people like, you know, like,
yeah,
do it, you know, by all means. And if you can make it, like for example, if I think of somebody like Kyle Steed, which is a local artist.
Oh, yeah.
And he has evolved a lot. Like, he's making his art a lot more like fine art. And he started doing lettering.
Yeah.
So he's been able to do it consistently at a slower pace.
And really nice. Really nice.
And really good product, you know? So, and he still gets hired by, you know, a lot of big brands. So, because his name is known.
Yeah.
But he's been able to do the transition. You still know it's Kyle Steed, you know? So there's ways actually to do it. It's just like, you know, you can transition, but keep kind of like the essence of it.
Yeah, for
sure.
That's really good.
Damn.
What do you think? You're shook?
I'm pretty shook.
Why?
Well, because you don't meet a lot of people that are able to say you slap yourself in the face. Like you don't, especially in creative, like whether it's musicianship or whether it's like actual painting, sculpturing, like photography, film. It's weird. And I don't know if you, cause I thought about this. It's like, I feel like as an artist, not that it's much easier to do everything you explain, but like that, it makes sense. But then you think about a agency and which it's not a big difference, but when I think about an agency, you think about all these different people who want your work. And I mean, I think for us, it's been very few times that people come for us for like, oh, for what we do, right? Because a lot of people still to this day, like, what do you do? Like, what is new? Like, that question is consistently asked. And so when I hear this, my artist side of me wants to pivot. I'm like, okay, we're just going to do one thing. We're going to make these one types of videos and I don't care. But then I'm just shook. I'm still like processing everything you just said because I admired, I think, I've gotten the opportunity to talk to a lot of artists where like people that I've taught everything that I know to people like you that are very successful in what they do and have been doing it for a while. And the biggest difference is that they're able, the people who are like on this side of sort of A's type of success, they are able to communicate the process, right? Like versus like when someone who's just starting, they're like, like there's no really any kind of depth, right? And there's nothing wrong with it because you're able, we which makes me realize like am I teaching these kids wrong? Because I'm teaching them everything that I know, like just do this, right? I'm essentially, if I were you, I'd be like, this is exactly how you do the gradient, this is how you cut, these are the colors that work really well together, right?
Yeah.
And am I instilling depth, like
philosophy,
because a lot of what you just said approach is very philosophical, right?
Yeah. Sure.
We talked to Mel. Mel's insanely like very similar. What you're saying,
essentially, words. Like all they're talking about, all people are talking about that are successful, is the underlying everything it took to get to that project, or that product. Because in 3 years from now, that same sort of process,
the whole philosophy, involvement, it's involving.
I think it's the difference between, and I see this all the time because I love music. I think that's where it started for me, is like one hit wonder type people. Mm-hmm. It's actually not that difficult to go viral or to have like a one hit wonder song. Like it's not that difficult. Like I think the first one doesn't say a ton, but I think it's the 2 to the 10 that actually matters a ton, because it's easy right now. Like literally right now, someone could grab what you're doing, for instance, copy and paste it, and people would be, they can't tell the difference. It's like, oh, that's sick. But what happens when now you have people start following you or liking you, and now you have to release a second song or a second design?
Yeah.
Because then those people have to also copy, and they can't do that anymore because now you have an audience. And I think I see that people can catch a trend. But then when the trend shifts, those people are like shaking their head like, shoot, man, like I'm lost right now. You know,
it's like funny you said that. It's like I had a particular person that was doing copying a lot of my designs like to the T, and he was being successful. Like people were following his, getting jobs, like, and all that. And then I shifted, like as I shift.
Sure.
And that's something that, you get frustrated sometimes. You're like, hey, like, what the heck? Do your own thing, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Leave me alone. And, but then it's just like, it's almost like the good thing about that is like you're always one step ahead. Yeah, so always. Whatever you shift to, or like whether it's like something is, that yeah. feels minor to the people that are seeing it, they know it's like, oh shoot, I could have never anticipated that yep. kind of vibe. So it's like
you're always ahead.
Yeah, but it's like an identity thing too. Yeah. It's like, you know, like keeping in that identity and like.
And so what you're telling me is I have an identity crisis.
You think you do? You think you have an identity crisis? Like,
I don't want to make it about me, but you, like what? I don't know, man.
Dude, I feel like everybody does. Like even like, me.
Everyone does.
Like,
but
I'm sure. Like, you know, like many times, like even this year, like there are things that are coming up in the company and in processes that we do. That's just like we're missing it. It's just like, how do you adapt to,
yeah.
like how do you adapt to things that makes you a good business person? And the opposite is what makes you a good artist.
Yeah, exactly, bro. That's what it is. Like, cause when I hear you yeah. explain everything you just said, Joe, personally, I'll eat that up, bro. Like I could listen. Right. Like, damn, yeah. bro, yeah, I love yeah. that. But I think in the past two months, I've really have tried to channel like my entrepreneur. Like, cause I Johnny's known me for like 10 years. I've always, my thing always growing up was like, I don't care about money. Like either people will give me or it'll come. My thing was more like pride or I just want to, it was less pride actually. It became more pride as I got older. It was more like, can
improving
I make
improving something, right?
Or like, no, it was more of a, I want to make a difference in the world. Oh, like that was literally the reason why I made anything. I mean, to this day, that's still like, if I make something, I want to make someone either cry or feel love. Like that's my philosophy, right? Cool. But then you think about a business and yeah. you think now I have a wife. I'm trying to live a pretty good life. Like I want to take her to Korea, right? That yeah, takes yeah. money. Yeah.
Essentially you're saying like that Joe as an artist of, I want to make people feel good, cry.
Love.
Yeah. Those are like your metrics sort of not contradict, but it's like a different island
yeah,
to
100%. And I, don't know
I need to just take care of my wife.
To being a killer.
Yeah.
Exactly. To being a shark.
Yeah. Bro. And well, like, and this yeah. is like this when we were really at good. Davis the other day, like you were telling me, we were talking about I think it'll hit on this, but just like what you've found to be successful, not even just as an artist, because we just talked about the artistry, which is huge and that is all there, but you've also found a way to channel when a client needs work. Uh-huh. And yes, they like you for my deal and your stuff, but like they need something that has nothing to do with you, and you're yeah. able to do that. And like your, I guess, philosophy to like, why you're able to do that, you know, yeah. is it, we, and you mentioned some of the stuff that was really, really good.
I think like is going back to the business side of things. Is it what are your aspirations? If you're not a good business person and you still want to make money and be an artist, you need to partner up with somebody mm-hmm. that's going to squeeze you. Like that person is going to make some money as well on you, but you're going to make money because of that person, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you want to stay in there, and that vibe of like, you know, I just want to make people happy and like my message,
yeah.
which we need people like that.
Yeah.
But you need to partner up with somebody that is going to be a shark for you.
Yeah.
And that really relationship good. Is tough to find, but it's necessary. And
so
and
true.
I mean, that's good. I mean, that's essentially what we've done. Like, yeah. Like Johnny has become the, I mean, the way you think.
I'm a mini shark, but I need a bigger shark.
No. He needs to become a bigger yeah, shark yeah, himself. Yeah, yeah. Like, because
it makes sense. I mean, I was talking to a friend 2 days ago. He's a producer, musician, and it doesn't matter if it's design or art, wherever it is. Like, we grow up as artists or whatever creative, you grow up loving that thing that you do. You're like, I'm in love with music. And so it gets weird when you're now having to figure out how to charge, monetize, because yeah. you're. It gets weird, but it has to be.
But you're saying it's not weird for you anymore.
I'm saying to be able to do what you love forever, yeah. it has to stop being weird.
It has to, it for has sure. To.
Like if you want,
and that's.
To.
I think that's what I feel from you is like that dogma. Like
yeah,
like
yeah,
you can turn to, that you on for you, right?
You have to die to yourself too, and realize is you know, because at the end of the day, dude, yeah. if you got AT&T calling you to make something for them. They don't care about who Mike Dale is, honestly. They just care about the association.
The like, idea that AT&T has like, your art.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, we care. You know, even when, you know, I'm going to be very, like, almost, like, judgy, but even when AT&T does like, you know, Black Lives Matter stuff or like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I have a very, very hard time believing they actually care. I think it's they just want to be associated with whatever is making waves and whatever 100%. People care about. And they want to seem like a good company. They could give money and fix problems like this, you know, if they wanted to. The fact that you're just talking about it and not doing anything, you know, tells you how they think too. So, so if you
got to approach it that way as well, is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is like you either get into a bubble and you do your own art and stuff and you just hang out with people that are purists, or you got to have the mentality of knowing, not being naive and knowing, dude, really they want my art because they want to associate maybe with somebody as an immigrant, or maybe they want it because they think it's cool and it's fresh and it catches eyes, which is what I think. I'm not a big personality when it comes to me. I never post about myself, never do videos of me talking.
Yeah.
So people don't usually do partnerships with me because of me as a person, but because my art is like eye-catching. Like if you're scrolling through Instagram, you see it, you're gonna stop 100%. And see it. So they love that, right? So it's just like knowing why people want you. This one makes you grow up, that's like sick. As an artist.
That's so good. And being
to do that, you gotta be honest with yourself. You cannot be playing games. You cannot be like, oh, people like me because I'm representing. No, bro, stop. You know, you gotta
like just be honest.
Gotta
be
know.
Up.
You gotta be honest with.
Yeah.
You know, if you're representing, for example, like the Black movement and like Tammy Cockery is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, companies want you because you represent that.
Yeah.
And they want to be associated with people that represent that. And at the same time, it's just like, you got to be honest with yourself. I know people don't want me as a personality because I haven't developed that side of my...
Yeah. And you're okay with that, though. You're okay with it. 100%
okay with that because I know that brings some other problems that I don't want. So I'm like, people want me because of my art, and I get to do my art for a living. Now, if you want to do that, you have to be honest with yourself. It's like, am I really good at this? Like, am I as good as these people that are doing this for these big brands? And if I'm not, you know, how can I be that really good and develop it in your room, you know, develop it 100%. By yourself.
And how does that show up when you're saying you've got to be really honest with yourself? Like the AT&T one, AT&T calls, say, hey, we want your work. You develop, you know, you give them the work.
AT&T, by the way, one of the worst people I've ever worked with.
Really?
But like, yeah, I don't care what saying they can say. If they call me, I'm going to say no.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Bad. Yeah. Well, in that case, whether it's AT&T or these big companies, like or whoever, like when we're talking about sort of business now, like does the honesty come in a way of like, I need this from you, even if it's like not on your own terms, or I guess like where does the honesty come in from you? It's like, oh, it's not hitting from an artistic standpoint, but it does from a business standpoint. So you're fine with that?
I think the honesty happens before these things start happening.
Yeah.
When it comes down to like, you know, if they want you to represent something you don't believe in, don't do it. You know, that's not what I'm saying.
Contradicting,
don't do anything that you don't believe in and all that. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like selling yourself, you know, your life to the whatever. People say like, you know, like I'm doing everything, whatever for money. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like, you have to really look at yourself, because a lot of artists also go into this mindset of like, I'm not being successful because I am so creative and so out of the box that people don't understand me.
No.
It's like, is that an excuse for you to like stop chasing what you know is your dream, which is like working with big brands? And like, because working with big brands at the end of the day is not very fun at the end of the day.
Mm.
It's more fun to work with Johnny and people like local and like, you know, cool people and do projects that you actually love doing, right?
That's more
fun than working with big brands. But big brands have the money. So it's like, how do you leverage what you do, and how do you understand your audience, and how do you understand why people would want to hire you?
Mm.
So if you know your product goes more to like Gen Z, like, why don't you pitch more to people that like need content for that? You know, like people that have money. You're going to have to sit in those rooms with these big CEOs that don't understand crap of what art means and what it does. And they're understanding more and more now. And I feel like this is the best time to be an artist. Going back to the question at the beginning, how do young artists, do you think it's a good time to be an artist, do it full time? This is the best time ever since the Renaissance times, that we've had a point where people understand and care about visual things deeply. Is now. This is the time. People see it on their phones. Companies want to hire you because they want the eye-catching thing. There's a lot of craziness involved with this advertisement and you know, brainwashing people and doing all that crap. But if you go beyond that, opportunity-wise,
Yeah.
It's the biggest, it's the best time to be an artist since Renaissance time. You know, like they would pay these crazy amounts for these artists to come paint spaces where people would come and gather, which were back then were churches.
Mm.
Those were the biggest spaces back then. Now you got big companies investing a lot of money on people coming doing murals inside the walls because they understand the power of like art brings to spaces.
Yeah.
So it's the best time to be alive when it comes to art, especially if you go in you know, NFTs and digital properties and all yeah. that. And it just goes crazy beyond that. So when I say that, what I mean is like be honest, who's going to hire you when you do something? Who is your target audience? That's what I mean, like between being an artist and being a business person.
Yeah.
It's like asking those tough questions. And it's just like, and if my business, if my audience is X, Y, and Z, am I as good as this other person that's already working for them?
Mm.
And what do I need to get there?
Mm.
That's not naturally something an artist thinks, that kind of like
competition mentality. Exactly what I just thought, yeah.
It's not what you think. But if you want to make it a business, you're going to have to think about that. Or the person that's representing you is going to have to think about that. So
it's really good, man.
It depends on what it is. If you're, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can start putting your stuff out. You start putting your stuff out. And
so you intentionally knew that you wanted to work with big brands. Like that was a thing for you, right? Like,
it wasn't.
You didn't know that?
No, I'm talking about later on. Like I started just. Honestly, I never posted anything online that I did ever before
when
I started doing posters. Yeah. Mm. And then my friend was like, hey, bro, start posting your stuff online. It's good. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. I was never a big social media person. I had like 300 followers on Instagram. I would never use it.
Yeah.
I started posting my posters and it just started blowing up.
I remember that was
But it wasn't first. My purpose. But then when it started happening, I am naturally a competitor. Like I like to win. Like I just like to, playing soccer. I suck at playing soccer, but I don't want to lose. I suck bad. Like I'm the worst in the team, and I'm like screaming at the best of that guy. I'm like, bro, get in the freaking line, bro, score. You know, like I'm getting pissed because we're not doing anything.
It's just you.
And I don't have the power to do anything because I suck. But I'm like trying to motivate the people around me to do it.
Yeah.
So with that mentality, you know, I started seeing all these other creators, and I'm like. You know, how do I get to a point, whatever? And then, you know, something that happens to me often is like that go down. Like, I feel like, oh, I shift. Like, I got to this many followers or whatever. And I don't care about this anymore, you know? And I just drop, you know?
Mm.
And naturally, coming back from that is usually what takes more discipline. Is what I've learned over time. You say, dude, you got to, you know, kind of slap yourself in the face and be like, you're building this. You've built this. You know, people depend on this. And this can take you. And then that's the point when I started being more conscious about like, you know, how do I hit these things? How do I, and doing, man, dumb things, like even like tagging, like you're in a certain place or people gathering your city that are the people that like, for example, a coffee shop that, you know, a lot of business people go to and you just tag your work in there or like, you know, actually go work there and just tag it there. Just, you never know, man. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, so that's
smart, right?
Like, yeah, that's and like, doing little things like that, being consistent in it.
Yeah.
Even that Wonder Woman gig that I got.
Because you just did Wonder Woman.
Yeah, second film, the poster for it, yeah. Yeah, the poster that has the crazy colors in the back. So she saw my work on Pinterest.
Who?
The director of the movie.
No way.
Patty, her name is Patty, whatever her last name is. And she saw it. And I remember I was at church on Sunday and they called me, got a random phone call. They're like, hey, this is the assistant of the director of the film, whatever. She wants to talk to you tomorrow. I think, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't know if it's real or not. Let's see, you know.
Yeah.
So I get on the phone and it's her. He's like, yeah, I showed your work to Gal Gadot and she loved it. And we want to get you in the team. And dude, and I'm out here.
This one?
No, actually, I don't know if I did this one.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Bro.
I actually did this one too. I didn't know they put this one out.
Well, I just Googled it.
Okay.
It's probably somewhere.
Yeah. Like the.
That's crazy, bro.
That's the one you did?
I love
that. Yeah. So I was like talking to like them and
Wonder Woman
and it happened through like freaking Pinterest.
That's how they saw you.
The amount of opportunity now, if you are being consistent and you're recognizing the key elements that make your work excellent and you're being consistent, things like that will come.
Mm.
It will come. Also,
yeah, because she saw you. Yeah.
My work seems to be like very mainstream vibes. You know, it's very colorful. I also like I do a lot of safe, like I don't do anybody naked or anything like that. So to the normal people, advertisers, people, like, and I don't do that on purpose. Naturally, that's who I am.
Just who you are. Yeah.
It hits really well with advertisers. It hits really well with people that are trying to do stuff like this, hitting more like a mass audience. So it's also you know, that's another thing. Like you have to also like analyze that. You know, if you're a business, if you're an artist, do whatever you want. But if you're a business and you're trying to make money, it's like, are the things that we're doing like sellable? Can I sell these?
It's really good.
And if they are, but there are to a small niche that can pay you for that. Like, for example, if your target is like Louis Vuitton, it's very tough to get on their books, you know? So it's like, is that realistic in the long run? And how do I make that realistic? It's like, you know, you got to analyze what they usually buy, who do they buy it from? And then start putting work out like you're doing it for them without being them and hope they see it. I know it sounds crazy.
No, but
you really think about that though.
Yeah, that's the way you do it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of thinking.
That's great, bro. Like, because you were talking about what you're referring to as the safe, right? Like you get hired on, you know that these companies are not, like you have to almost play it safe for them, right? Because you were telling me their audience is massive. It's not niche. It's not small, local. But the people that have the money, I know this is not chasing money. We're not talking about that. But when you do get hired from these companies, you play this like you give them what they want, essentially.
Well, at the beginning, so that's the struggle I had at the beginning. I wanted to innovate.
Even so for those companies.
For them, because I was so excited. I'm like, dude, what the heck? I got hired by
the best thing.
Freaking, I did one for Nike China for one of the shoes they were dropping. I'm like, over my head, I'm like, this is crazy. We'll do something amazing. And I'm out here trying to innovate, and it starts not looking like me. Right? Because what I do every day, I feel like you start rejecting it.
Yeah, you're like,
naturally, because you're
not
like,
my greatest.
I've done this so much, like, I don't want to do it again. And that's exactly what they want. They want you to do it again with their logo.
Does it almost feel?
It's crazy.
Not worthy. Like
it feels like you. It feels like you're cheating them. It feels like you're like taking their money and
like this can't be what they want. Like this can't be what they want.
Exactly.
Right?
So
you started going all in, like innovating.
I started going all in, innovating, thinking what you know, like the trends of design, like the coolest things I can do.
Like wow. Like
and then there was always this kind of like gap between when they would first see it of like. What is this, you know? And that to me was just like, dude, I'm doing something wrong. So it happened with a few projects. And then they would shift me into my style. They would point me into like, no, we like this thing you did. You do this with our photos.
And it ended up being back at this like real simple
it
for you.
It started being back
right?
to like me like being able to do it in 1 hour or 2 hours, you know? Or like, you know, I would spend more time actually cutting the photos and making the hair look natural and like than actually doing the design because to me it was so easy.
But
to them, it wasn't about that. It was about my style, and it was about the style I developed. That it became easy to me now because it's so natural.
You developed it.
But that's what they wanted. They're hiring me for that. So like realizing that took a little bit of time. But then now I know it, and I'm like, dude, I'm doing my style.
Yeah,
I'm doing a little bit of magic in it. Like I'm making it look special for the client, obviously, and going the extra mile and putting thought into it, especially at the beginning. It's something that I realized as well. It's like. The more effort I put in the beginning of like communicating the vision that I have for the piece or like showing how I would do it and sketches and all the stuff, the better they would, you know, it would transition,
you
right?
You set them up, yeah.
But then I understood that I have to drop being, they don't want me to be innovative. They want me to be me. And, you know, identity versus innovation is always like a constant battle for business and artists. And you just have to like kind of pick your lane and like, You're gonna get bored doing what you do.
Damn, bro.
But the more bored you get, the more you establish you get, the more money you're making. Which is kind of
crazy.
Yeah. It's weird.
And because you have a studio, Belmont, right? Yeah. Do people reach out to you for work that looks like Magdiel in Belmont?
Well,
or like I guess the question would be like, do you do projects that almost have nothing to do with your identity?
Yeah, we do now.
You do?
We do now, like in Belmont, we do a lot of branding for corporations.
Okay.
A lot of like identity stuff, like for them. So in those projects, you kind of have to like take a backseat and kind of like study them, what they need, okay, and then create something custom.
So you're almost starting from scratch there. Yeah, it's not,
but then
you...
there are some companies that reach out to me as an artist, but they want me to also do a branding with my style. Mm. And then that's when Belmont comes in as well. Like, you know, we filter it through Belmont. I lead the team and we kind of get it done. So there's a mixture of both.
Cool.
But I get to do stuff that has not to do with my style all the time.
Is that hard?
No. I enjoy it.
Really?
I enjoy like it? A lot. Yeah, I love it, bro.
That's crazy.
And I love doing stuff that is outside of my style. Because my style, like I said, is like so...
You do it so much.
I do so much. It's so much a part of what I do, you know? Like, I just can sit down and do it. The other things require me, like, you know, study, and I get excited about it. It's like, how do I make this awesome? So, yeah, I go into it a lot. Yeah, I love that.
It's really good.
That was a lot of, like... approach philosophy into creative design, which is so good. Like,
we haven't even talked about
NFT, and that's kind of what I was thinking. Like we can like move over, but like, where I guess what is next for you? Like, I mean, I think you're doing amazing work, and even some of the business stuff that you're talking about, I feel like that's growing. You were telling me like that's going really well, and you know, people want to reach out to you and work with you. What's next? I mean,
dude, I'm super excited about the new stuff that's coming out, new technology with NFTs. For people who don't know about NFTs, it's basically is done through smart contracts.
Yeah.
It's basically like the ownership of anything in the internet became real last year. Well, it became real in 2017, but people started using it this year. 2021 is when it really blew up. But it's basically like ownership of anything in the internet. Like, you might think you own your photos on Facebook. You don't. Everybody can download them. And you cannot really resell them because they're not technically yours or Facebook's or whatever. But now you can do ownership of whatever you have, whatever asset. And then that's how you can sell digital art. And, you know, it's basically, it's almost like when money came out, when dollars came out. Mm. Say, you would give, imagine, you know, dollars came out, like whatever form of money, coins.
That'd be weird.
And you give a farmer... Dude, give me your chicken. Here's my coin. And they're like, what the heck is this? No. You know? So that's not what kind of like digital, you know, like.
That's what it feels like. Yeah.
What it feels like. It's almost like, why would I buy this? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So everybody agrees now that it's a real thing. And then you get, you know, you get crypto, or, you know, it's a form of money for digital assets, which is huge. And I think that's, you know, digital art wise is revolutionary. And like, and the way people can collect. And this whole thing with Meta, you know, the Meta...
Facebook
stuff Facebook is doing. I'm excited about that because it's going to normalize it for people.
Mm. You know,
The Facebook portion. Yeah. Because they're such a big brand. I'm sure they're going to make it cheesy and end up ruining it. But
it's going to become now...
They're going to normalize it. Yeah, exactly. Like, Facebook is like, my parents are using Facebook. So if it normalizes it for them, like, that's it. Like, we made it. And what I'm excited about, that something that I've been wanting to do for, I think for like over 5 years, is like, I've been wanting to do like my poster vibe, but on spaces that you can navigate, right? So like, imagine you're in this Grand Canyon kind of looking place, sand everywhere. It's kind of dark, close to sunset. You turn a corner, and there's like a person floating with some like crazy lights in there, and it's kind of static there. You can work around it, almost like a.
Do you have to drive to it? Is what you're saying, or
almost like a gallery digital vibe, but it's all digital, right?
Oh,
and you can see it with VR,
that.
Or you can experience it somehow.
Did you see?
It's three dimensional.
Arsham did something like that little bit
on 3D,
but not almost. Yeah, like his, you know, his sculpture.
Uh-huh.
You can't. It's not like immersive. You can't walk into it. But his thing is inside a like forest.
Okay.
And in 1 year, it's deteriorating.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And in 1 year, it's just going to disappear.
It's going to die?
And then it'll come back the next day.
I didn't know that.
It's like every day you can go look at it, and it's like
slow. But how do you go look at it?
You don't go look at it.
Oh.
To your phone?
Because you're talking about that would be through like the metaverse.
Yeah,
because
that would be insane. I had that idea, and I'm like, but how do you even
that's
do
not
that?
Even, yeah,
no,
yeah,
that's not
sense.
Even. But now, I don't know if you guys heard about Unreal Engine. And so Unreal Engine is this new tool that came out a few years back, and it allows you to do 3D spaces. It was made for games, right?
Yeah,
but now
filmmaking
is like taking advantage of it like in a huge way. You should look into it legit. So they do, you can do any 3D spaces, and they have this Metascans is what it's called.
Okay.
So they scan any object like super well, and it's basically a 3D object, but it's all photography. So it's instantly like real, you know?
Okay.
And it reacts to light and it's awesome. So it's really easy to use. And with that integration, I'm learning right now Unreal Engine on my free time. And then I think with that integration of that plus VR and making that more normal.
Yeah.
When we get to that point.
Yeah. Because it's not there.
Like,
yeah.
It's not there at all. Yeah. Even if it's like a game kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Like you do with a controller.
Have you done? Have you used the Oculus?
I have.
Oh yeah, my gosh, bro, that's insane. It reminds me of that vibe.
Like, or like a place that you go to.
Imagine like a
gallery that's like maybe done through screens in a creative way. Like I think it could be super cool.
Yeah.
Like an augmented reality
kind of sort of.
Like a could Disney you, ride kind of
yeah,
vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think
like
you,
for art?
Do you think it would? Yeah, I mean, this is super interesting. Do you think that it would have to be, even if it is a physical space, but that say 50 to 100 people can all go into this place all at once, or do they all, does it need to be more individualized, like VR, like, because we did one three, four years back in San Antonio. It was a military base,
and you can like,
and you walked in, and this was
like you're in war.
Yeah, this was made. It was a place like that, and it was made for veterans or people that have been in war. But they're rehabbing, so they take them into this room. It was state of the art. I mean, it was military,
yeah.
And it was the first time. It's not a screen. It's like you enter in, and you can feel the. It was. I mean, exactly.
Are you wearing something? Or
no, like, no. I don't think you were wearing. You just walked in.
I thought you connected to something.
No, because there was like four of us in there.
But yeah, but it interacts with each other.
Yeah.
So I've done some experiences like that where you're wearing something, and you even have gloves.
Yeah.
I can touch you in that world.
Yeah.
You look different. But then all the boxes and everything is like traced to look that. So that's part of what inspired my idea. It was like, I went to one of these Star Wars looking things.
Yeah.
It's like, and it was that. So you would walk in the, like imagine we scan all this room and then that door goes into another space. But
wow.
It's like all like in 3D, but it's these normal walls, right? But you see it on your thing. So I imagine an art experience like that. It takes you through a whole process of like, either whether it's ideas or like somebody's story, or like, you know,
that's
the creative process from like excitement, colors, imagine emotion, and then you go into rain, into like a place where you're like you feel
imagine
lonely.
That.
Was Star Wars one nice?
It was very nice, yeah. It's right here. It's like it's
really?
A movie theater. Like they have it there.
Are now. You a Star Wars fan?
Here in
in
Oak Cliff?
No, North Dallas. Like they have it now, I'll send you what it is. But it's a cool that model of like experience.
I mean, that sounds
like doing something like that, but it's stationary. So you go to it, you go through the experience, and then you're done after it, right? So, and then you have like a place where people can chill and like kind of see for digital photos.
How far do you think we are from there, from that being normalized?
Well, that could be done right now. That experience of walking through it could be done right now.
How
far we are from doing it at home, probably like 5
a
years.
And then, because when we talk about that, that's this land, metaverse, like, I think Decentraland or something like that is another
one. Bro.
Like where does your NFTs come in there? Like could we get your NFTs? Like, can I see one of those in real life almost?
Yeah. So NFTs right now are about flexing right now.
Sure.
That's honestly what they are.
Yeah.
They're either about flipping and making money.
Yeah.
Loving an artist and investing in them.
Yeah.
Or about flexing.
Yeah.
It's not different than having nice shoes that like, you know, you can live with normal.
Like a Bored Ape is just a Bored Ape digital, right? There's nothing to it.
There's nothing to it. It's just like this is what it is. It's
yeah,
like it became like the Rolex of of the NFTs. If you have one, you can flex it. I have, you know, I'm the owner of these, and it kind of gives you like belonging.
Totally,
there's a big community there.
Man, bro.
But then now, when you do digital properties, you can hang your Bored Ape on your wall, and people are like, "Oh, you have a Bored Ape? Are you kidding me?" You know, and I'm thinking even like I had this idea the other day. Like, what if you do software as NFT? And imagine you release a plugin for video, right? And then you sell only 1,000 of them for a price that's kind of low, and people buy it, and they get to use it. If they don't use it that much that month, they can resell it, and then you get a percentage of the resale.
For sure.
And then also it comes as a digital asset, like as a 3D asset. So if you have also like a property on the Meta, whatever, the plugin looks like an item.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, you do. You got that plugin
like
when this artist
sick.
Dropped it. You know,
yeah.
So it's like a visual thing. It's, you know, it's a way of like representing who you are. And as we transition into like hanging out online, it makes sense for all these items.
Everything
that are like
to be on.
Identity and who you are and how you dress. They will also transition online. It only makes sense to do that, you know? So it's kind of like what the NFT vibe is like. And in Decentraland, I always say their name wrong, Soviet or something. It's like one of the biggest auction houses in the world, like Arshel.
They bought a space there. Yeah, they just
And then you can go to it, and then they have a ton of Bored Apes, and then you can buy some live
from right there. They have Sotheby's?
Yeah, they have them on the Bored Apes?
I didn't know
Sotheby's. Oh, yeah, they bought a ton. They bought a ton. Way. They did a huge auction, and they sold like 20 of them for whatever million. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, it's a whole thing,
crazy.
Man.
Bro, yeah, I remember I almost bought not an ape, one of Jake Paul's NFTs.
Oh, really? I have a ton of NFTs that I've collected.
Really?
And I flipped a ton of them. It makes some good money.
Yeah.
If you, but it takes time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a whole world.
You've done 2 drops. How has it been? Because I know there's always like the approach. I know very little from probably all of us in here, but I know there's the approach of either you make NFTs or you're sort of the middleman for NFT. Like you create that, like either we create Qverse, right? Uh-huh. For NFT artist. How has it been dropping NFTs? Like you're making your own.
There's not very many people that.
Cause not, I mean, I personally don't know anyone, but like you're actually creating art that people are like, cause I heard your second drop like was sold.
Yeah.
Like
the first one and the second one, they're both dropped within a few minutes.
How many did you drop?
It was 20 and 20.
Okay.
It wasn't that many.
Okay.
That's why also like why it's so fast. It was a big hype about it. And selling 20 and 20 is not that hard when you create
you have a following.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like I started doing NFTs early this year when I heard about it. And, you know, and obviously I'm lucky to even be able to sell some. But I'm also kind of like bitter that last year I didn't hear about it or like heard about it a couple of times and I kind of ignored it on 2020. And I was just like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'll check it later or whatever. And a lot of the people that are like my peers on Instagram that we started doing Instagram kind of the same time, kind of did the colorful vibe. And we kind of like, even a guy that did, like he was like one of the guys that was like copying my work a lot. His name is Clarence. And I was like an inspiration to him when he started. And then he like, now he's like dropping with Nifty all the time. And it's like,
that's crazy.
But because he got into all the... There was a big shift on 2020. A lot of artists, big, like the well-known digital artists started going into it and they gave it like a credibility kind of vibe. You know?
Yeah, it came out.
So people in the NFT world, like people in the crypto world were really excited to welcome these artists in and they became instantly like celebrities in this world, making millions and millions and millions.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Like I'm not exaggerating when I say millions and millions. Like, I mean like, some of them have made like 8-9 million, like, and I'm talking about like people that like we used to talk in Instagram, like we talk in Instagram still to this day a lot. Like they're like normal guys that started doing Instagram kind of the same time that I did. So I kind of like, what the heck? So I came in when everything, like when everybody knew about it back in February. So I thankfully got into all the, you know, the big, like super rare and all those ones approved me. So I'm in there. I started selling a few individual pieces. Like I sold all of the ones that I put out.
The 20?
No.
This is before. Oh,
these
okay.
Like some of my posters. Like
okay, I, you just I, sold
the
those.
The very first one I sold for 5 Ethereum, which like back then was like 10K. Now it's 20, a lot more. But yeah. I was just like pumped about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was super excited. And then it kept selling consistently for 3 Ethereum, 2 Ethereum, you know. So after I dropped a few, like so 5.
You have some Ethereum in you.
Yeah, I have some savings. After that sold for that, right? The whole NFT world, the whole crypto world, it's like a super bro kind of environment. Like you have to know people
that know
this thing, that know, you know, and you have to be on all these groups. It's a super tight community. And I took it wrong at the beginning. I thought it was like more of a, they go in there, they promote each other's crap. And then because they know each other, they hype it up. And it's still, that happens still, but I didn't even know about the collections and all of the stuff. And it wasn't really happening back in February. And then we did a big NFT show here in like Dallas, not big, but like it was like sold out. It was cool. It was good environment. Like it was dope. And then after that show, I was just done with NFTs, man. Like I was just like,
oh really?
Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm taking a break from this. I want to bring value to people. Right. And I understand the value isn't like they keep this forever. And if I become a bigger artist, they get to sell it. Or if I do other things in the future.
Sure.
But at the same time, the whole like being in there, like talking to people, kind of trying to
Discord,
hype things up. I don't like doing that, you know. So I kind of stepped back from it. And then before summer, I started seeing these. So one of the projects that I put down, it was a collection. I wanted to do a collection.
Okay.
Because this other girl does it with a boy. It's called just Boy. And she does really well on her stuff. And I think, I was like, that's a feature of this identity. It's like branding. Yeah. If you're strong and people know exactly where you're dropping, that's huge. So I'm like, if I do anything, any more NFTs, it would be this, right? But then I put a hold on it. Summer comes and all these profile picture collections are like going crazy.
Crazy.
And I'm like, yes, this is what I, you know, like the collection, this is what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. I don't want to do 10,000 and I could have done it.
10,000
like,
drop?
Going back, I'm like, if I would have partnered with some people to hype it up, they would have done that job and I would have done the design work and you kind of split it with them. But again, it's like, it's a huge thing, bro. It's a huge undertaking. It's like you have to like convince pretty much like more than 10,000 people to buy it and then keep it hyped up for the value to keep going up. So even back then, I didn't even know much about it. I was just like, I have to get into these before like, and they all look bad and they all look kind of like whatever, you know, like Bored Ape, like the art is not like awesome. It's not like well taught. It's like, you know, it's cool, but it's like more of an identity thing versus an art thing. And I 100%. Want to make it more of an art thing. Right. So I did Q-verse, which means quad verse. It depends. It's like four different kinds. And if you combine, you get a free one that's more special. So it's like I'm going to release 80 of them. At the end, and then the other 20 could be generated by people collecting them and matching them.
Oh, that's cool.
And as they match it, they lose the power to be able to be matched again. So there's only 20 more there. So it's total 100.
Forever.
Forever, yeah. So I dropped the first 20. People were very, like, I dropped a GIF of like them rotating, and people were really like them. Like, they were like super on board with it, and they got hyped up about it. So, yeah, I did a Discord almost like, you know, like to keep the community talking and brought people in there. Like,
people are in
super
there.
Crazy. They're like, oh, why is MacDill not tweeting much? I'm like, dude, I don't think you get to decide that.
People get mad at you.
So people want because
they want the value to keep going up, right?
Because they want the value.
Yeah,
100%.
To them, it's like a currency, right?
Yeah,
that's not what it is for me. I never promised that either. I'm like, you know, I'm doing my stuff. I obviously wanted to gain value. So the first drop a 0.4 and then that same day some were selling for 2 Ethereum, which is like 6K at the price Ethereum was. And so that's a big value for the person that's buying it.
Huge.
I had a couple friends that bought some and they were like, you know, like getting a ton of like a bunch of money for basically flipping them, right? Which I was happy about, you know.
100%.
And it's still the value is still up. So I think, you know, people see the value. Half of the people want to support you as an artist, or like a few of them. And then all the people want to flip it and make money. So it's just like, again, going back to the artist business mentality, there's nothing artist business mentality like NFTs. It's like, you have to know you're doing it for the art because you like doing art, but you're creating a currency. You're creating something that gains value or loses value depending on demand.
Yeah.
You have to know that. So it's like very, very, very much tied to that, right? So it's like, how do I make new ways to bring value to it, right? Getting featured on some of the big websites is part of it. And then also the drop number 3 is going to be collabs. So instead of doing me all the art again, I'm going to collab with some big artists on the NFT space, and hopefully they can bring their audience to the collection and create.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be 20 of them. So, you know, it's one of those things that I think the future of NFTs is like super strong long term. I think most of the collections that are out right now are going to go to zero. They are, you know, unless it's like unless the artist keeps going.
Yeah, it keeps
But most
pushing.
Of them don't have well-known artists.
Yeah.
They just have somebody that's just like putting them out. Because
like with the apes, who's the, like, is the artist pretty well
known? Yeah, yeah. With them, they're one of the few that they're going to be on forever, I think.
No, for sure. But
I don't know who the artist is.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. But
there's a lot of apes
and the CryptoPunks are probably
going to
be forever.
There's a lot of little, you know, just people dropped and
even the ones that are making a lot of money, like, you know, some of them make a lot of money and people are flipping them, they're like super hyped up right now, but it's, you know, like the hype is going to eventually die, something better is going to come along. And the thing about collections like that right now is that they were hot in the summer, right? And then in the summer a lot of big people started getting ready and they took them like 3-4 months. And now they're dropping.
Mm.
So now they're dropping collections that look insanely good. Like, there's this It looks like Bored Apes, but it's all about fashion. Have you guys seen those?
No, what are they?
It's 3D and they look all like fashion. They have fashion, like, but it looks so well done. And that one is going to be huge in December. It drops in December. So that one is going to be big, big. Like, if you get one of those, you're going to make a lot of money. I don't know. I got to
look
it up. No, you're good. Bro, you're good.
Yeah. He's like,
that's that secret.
No,
stuff.
No, no,
that's
bro.
That
yeah,
that's
yeah,
that Coinbase.
Do you go in? Is this it's like, is this in a fun place for you? Like, when we talk about this stuff, you have a long day at work. This is enjoyable. All this crypto.
It's enjoyable for me to like the process of how this is like evolving. And yeah. It's just like, dude, it's so cool to see it go to that place, right? Yeah. The releasing NFTs is not fun.
It's not fun.
It's stressful.
Really?
It's like you got the people asking you all the time, like
when, for more.
Yeah. Or like you know, like increase the value of our thing. You know. It's like talk to so and so to get featured in this and that. And it's like so there's a lot of pressure when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And you kinda have to like turn it off, bro.
Yeah.
You kinda have to be like, dude, I'm gonna release the things, I'm gonna enjoy this. I promise to do 80.
Yeah,
and you can get, you know, if you collect more, you can get more. That's what I promised. I want to do more things. I want to do,
for sure,
you know, physical things, and kind of do like everybody that owns one gets a piece of royalty from the sales of that product.
Sure.
I want to still do that, but I don't want to promise it until I'm sure I can do it. You know.
Yeah.
So versus other brands that promise a lot in the beginning because they want people to buy it, you know, and then it kind of dies down, you know. So it's like. That's the thing about NFTs. It's like, how do you create hype? If you are able to create hype, you can make a lot of money.
Hype.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bro. First thing you said, flexing.
It's about this flexing. Is fun. Yeah. There's a ton here, man. I super appreciate it. This is how long we've gone.
It's 2:00.
What time did we start?
12:30.
It's about an hour and a half. Yeah. I mean, bro. I'm. Thanks for coming. Thanks for opening up all this stuff. A lot of the creative approach stuff I think is huge. I think that's so valuable and I'd love to talk some more. We'll talk some more about NFTs or some of the other creative work, but super, super respect what you're doing and just going to be fun to see. Like, I think this is even just the beginning of what's happening, what you're doing. Like, I know you've done a lot, but I know you're going to be doing so much more. You know?
I'm excited to try new things, man. Like that art space that I've been dreaming of, I think, you know, and things, collaborations with people that I know, I'm like, there's so much to be done in the art world and the design world in the upcoming years. And anybody that's young, that's like, am I going to be able to do it? It's like, it's almost like, you know, it's like almost back in the 90s, the athletes were like stars. Everybody wanted to be an athlete. I feel like we're shifting into everybody wants to be an artist nowadays. Everybody wants to be a content creator. Everybody wants to be a YouTuber. Everybody wants to be somebody that's creating content, being an influencer. So it's just like, it's the biggest opportunity, I feel like, for anybody that's into this.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Super excited. Renaissance. I like that you said that. I think that's a big deal.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, bro.
Thank you for having me, man.
I'm so glad. And it
I've
even
learned
means
a lot, bro.
I think the Hispanic thing, like, obviously us being Mexican, a lot of, you know, you coming from Cuba, I feel like there's a huge connection there. That I super appreciate, you know, because I'm 100%. Proud of, feel like you're like family. Like, I'm proud of your success and what you're doing. And I really mean that. Like, that's there's a pride thing
100%.
There.
100%. Beginning of the pod, low key could have cried, right?
Yeah.
Because like, you're like, not.
That's real, bro.
Yeah, 100%. Like, to get where you're at with the history that you carry, that's honorable. Yeah.
Thank you, bro.
For sure.
Thank you.
Well, that's it.
That's it. Thanks for listening. I can't even end it, bro. Like, this was really good. I'm just, 'cause
you don't want it. You don't want it to.
I think there's a lot. But
I forgot where we were.
Everything's different now. Everything has changed. Always on plane. Always something new. I said nothing's new. Nothing's changed.